Welcome aboard our vessel. I'll be your cook. Join me and my trusty ally, the captain, as we set sail through our relationship with music, film, literature, and everything in between, as well as our ongoing exploration into mental health and well-being. Anchors up! We are back.
We are three.
We are three?
I know.
We forgot about it.
We did. Forgot our birthday.
Google gag. Oh no, you talk at three, didn't you? Nora was talking quite proficiently at three, actually.
You clearly weren't.
I wasn't. But yo, we are three. That's an achievement.
Nice. It is.
We roll on.
We should celebrate. And with celebration, you know, congratulations to doing Dry Jam.
I know. I got through it.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I'm continuing as it stands.
Yeah.
Although I might have one in between, but I do feel that it's changed how I feel about it.
Yeah.
Non-alcoholic beers really help. Non/low alcoholic beers help because you do have more choice.
Mm.
And I think half the time with me, I just like the idea of being in a pub.
Yeah.
With a beer.
Being around people. Yeah. But so. It's interesting, the concept of the number of people I saw then on the 1st of Feb posting, oh, I'm out for my beers now.
And I'm
like, well, that's not... Surely the concept is to just be more mindful rather than get absolutely smashed again 4 days in a row because you're undoing all the good work.
Absolutely.
Yeah, it's each their own.
Well, yeah. And anyone who did it, look, well done. Because, I mean, for someone like me, I've got to say, I enjoy a drink, and there can be weeks where I drink a lot.
Mm.
Hence why I took the decision to do that. We've got a wedding in the middle of February, then I've got a stag do in Berlin.
Yeah.
So my thinking was, I'll go get through to the wedding.
Mm.
God knows what state I'll get in by the time I get there. We've got your birthday, haven't we? So we'll probably mark that with a couple of beers, won't we, as well?
Go watch some football, which we've seen football. A fair bit of.
Yeah,
now
we've done well.
Hardcore County fans.
We are, basically, aren't we? Now we just need to get to away games now.
Yeah, that'll be fun.
But yeah, how have you been, mate, anyway?
Yeah, good. The bathroom's done.
Yes.
Finally. A few more house renovations. Cool luxury. But, it's like a hotel. But yeah, a few more house renovations ongoing. But yeah, we're getting through there. You know, it's a lot more settled, I think.
And we technically work together now, don't we?
We do. You're kind of in charge of me.
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm your
T-boy.
So, yeah, welcome aboard, Mr. Trustee.
Trustee of Jacob Abraham.
I don't know why they trust you.
I know. Well, you're knocking a couple of zeros off your salary. Keep things going. But no, listen, we are back today and we're very excited.
We are excited. We've also got to talk about our challenges.
Oh God!
Beforehand,
so I forgot exactly what we do in this
podcast.
You
challenged me to listen to classical music whilst I was working.
Yeah, how did that go?
Just feedback and things, and I enjoyed it because I do, where possible, I listen to sort of background music, and if I can do classical or film scores. But it's interesting the pace I work depending on what music's on.
Yeah.
So I love. I mean, my go-to is Planets by Holst.
Yeah.
That's one of my go-to sort of compositions to listen to, and I type quicker for Mars than I do for Venus.
Funny, isn't it?
Yeah, you know, just the music, you know, I work a lot quicker with sort of the more louder, faster classical music compared to the other ones. But no, it was nice sort of just using it to, like, you hear it, but you don't hear it.
Yes.
It sort of drifts into the background, so it's nice flow to my work. And you're meant to bring me a song.
So, yeah, I've been making a playlist called Discovered in 2024. Mm-hmm. Some songs are not from 2024. Mm-hmm. It's just I found them in 2024. Yeah. But this particular song has been released. I think I listened to Six Music, and it has come out this year by King Creosote, who are from Scotland.
Right.
And I've listened to them a few times, but this particular track did stick out when I had the radio on, and it's called Please Come Back, I Will Listen, I Will Behave, I Will Toe the Line.
Okay.
And just thinking about what we started on in terms of our relationships with mental health and things like that and music, this is kind of a good link.
Yeah.
So I'd be interested to hear your...
We'll give that a go.
Your thoughts. It's like a continuing challenge, isn't it?
It is, I know. Yeah, I'll have to lead on from that then for you to do something.
This could be like a never-ending challenge.
Like the story we did.
Right, so we're very excited. First shipmate of 2024.
Yep, I know.
God, it's been a while.
Yeah, it's been a while.
God, we haven't interviewed for a while.
Oh dear. Let's see how this goes,
shall we? Sounds about this.
Being well recording. There we go.
Cool.
Right, okay. So I almost feel like I'm a little bit like Paddy McGuinness on Take Me Out now, where there's like a secret person, and I've got to say almost like secret person reveal yourself, and hopefully we won't hit a load of red lights. So we're going to
Yeah.
take a risk. Obviously, it's fantastic to have our first guest of 2024. First guest is a 3-year-old podcast as well on
Yes.
board. So yeah, over to you. Introduce yourself.
Yeah, thank you so much for getting me on today, guys, on a sleepy Sunday morning. It's a shame we couldn't meet in person, but it's actually good that we can meet on Zoom so we can still do this. But yes, I'm Josh. I write in a project called Mojo Junior. Started as a solo project in lockdown, back in 2020. Basically, I'm in another band, but we haven't played since before lockdown, called Cactus House, and we couldn't write together. We just didn't know how to write together. They didn't have the equipment at their house, so I just started writing on my own, and it was a completely different vibe to the band. So I showed everyone the music, and they were like, "Cool, yeah, you should release this on your own." And then Jack from Key Gofod just released Castle Square, and then released Natural Light with me on it as well. So it's sort of that creative process in lockdown. And then we were all talking about like writing and releasing our own projects. And I thought, yeah, why not? Let's just do it. Even if it's just this one song, or if it's just like a couple of songs, let's just give it a go. So it started at that in lockdown. And then I was lucky enough after lockdown to be offered a couple of good gigs. So got all my mates together to make a band. And then since then, it's been more of a live project than it was a bedroom project. And I like how it's evolved. We've been on like several tours, been lucky to sort of play really, really established venues and festivals and stuff. So yeah, that's me, Mojo Junior in a nutshell.
Love it. I like the journey as well, and obviously we've had Jack Key on in the past, and I do like. You can see that you're collaborators, and I think seeing you live at Rebel Fest, it was kind of like quick change of outfit on the side back. Let's just change positions because I know like one of you plays keys on one band in it, and then you swap the guitars over for the other. But I know you are a keen collaborator, and where does that bed from, do you think? Like your ideas previously, prior lockdown, would that be something you would hold on to quite a lot in terms of musical ideas? Or was you always like, hey guys, I've got this, whoever will listen will listen and get some people's thoughts on it. How does the sort of songwriting process work best for you?
It's different per song, I'd say, but traditionally, before Mojo started, before lockdown, was very much I would be the songwriter in the sense of having an idea for a song. So I'd have the basic chords, the lyrics, and the melody, take that to the band, whichever band I was in, and then each respective instrument player would play their parts for that. And that would be the collaboration process within the band. Obviously, when you don't have a band around you, in a room, you've got to sort of either do it yourself, which is what I did with Miles Away, and it was a big learning process. First time I've ever scheduled drums. I think I played bass on that one as well. Never played bass on a recording before. It was a £30 bass I got from someone on Facebook Marketplace and just played root notes. That's literally what I did. I was like, oh, cool, I'll just pick root notes, play, keep it simple. And just play a cool little rhythm with it. But yeah, it was a big like learning curve actually, writing that whole song on my own. And then I thought it'd be fun to play and just like swap stems with people as well. So we still kept that collaboration, but then that band idea gets wider, you know? Like I can collaborate with anybody through the internet, that kind of ethos, or anyone in South Wales. So yeah, like that's sort of how it's grown. But personally for me, probably insecurity. Like personally, if I feel like an idea isn't strong enough, I'll take it to someone who I know might work well with it, and then they will take that idea and then make me jazzed about it. So they'll put their own little spin on it, and I'll be like a fan for that then as well. And that's how it gets it going. Yeah, and I've been doing that quite a lot recently, actually. If you get stuck on a song, sometimes I'm like, I don't sit with it. I'll just go, cool, who can I send this to, and who can I work with to try and get this through the line?
Love that. Yeah, I
Yeah.
love that's a really good way of looking at it, and especially now you've grown to work with different people. I suppose this needs to go to Jack, or this needs to go to someone, to have a little listen and go, actually, I'm trying to go in this direction. But you never know. People hear things very differently, don't they? When we had Pseudo Cool on, I remember Kath talking about I like to watch. And when she wrote that on the acoustic guitar and then sent it to her brother, it came out very differently when they recorded it. And that's the interesting thing about music. It's all, we sort of perceive it in different ways. And I suppose I picked out a lyric in one of your songs. Well, I watched you do this on the block sessions, but self-doubt gonna stress you out as well. I love that, because I've got a massive issue with self-doubt on things, because mentioned on pods before, like to write, and Brynda's similar as well. So mentally, how do you feel about like putting yourself out there as well? I mean, that seems quite like a sort of personal line to share in a song, but you're doing sounds quite nice. Is that like, I don't know, the Smith style thing in it, where the music sounds great, but the lyrics are quite deep. So yeah, just tell us your thoughts on self-doubt and how you get yourself out, get yourself up on stage and get yourself in front of the camera to perform as well.
I think the performance side of stuff is actually quite therapeutic, and it's very just makes me feel really, really good, because there's so much energy to it, you know. The thing that stresses me out the most is releasing music in a physical, like a digital form, and the whole like music video stuff and the promo photos. This doesn't stress me out. The podcast, and I love talking to people. I love that. But the whole sort of trying to be someone else persona thing. I'm quite camera shy, believe it or not. Although I'm very very good with talking to people like this. But yeah, that's the side that sort of stresses me out, is the releasing the music. Because it's a bit more, I don't know why, but it feels a bit more permanent than a gig. A gig is a bit more of a throwaway, in the sense of it's that everyone in that room is feeling that performance for that 30 minutes or 45 minutes. Everyone's feeling the same energy. Whereas if there's a song on Spotify, people are going into that song with so many different, a song feels different in the morning than it does in the night. So like, even with the same person, so it's a lot. But then you can overthink with them kind of things too. I hope that sort of answers that question a little bit.
It's interesting to kind of, when you were talking about that, I went into the head sort of with the critic, and you know, the inner critic element of how almost for you having the live instant feedback is a lot more productive than actually putting yourself out into the unknown. Almost like, say, you know, releasing a song, releasing a book, you don't know what this person thinks of it when whatever time they're going through. I know me and Aaron have spoken before, listening, I think it was one of the Foo Fighters albums I didn't like, and then listening to it in a different context, I was like, oh, actually, I quite like this now. No, and it's really trying to get the balance. But I guess, like you said, you know, how do you get to that point of like, actually, I'm going to hit release? Because I know for us to release in the first pod, it was like, oh, this is, are we going to do it? Are we going to hit it? It's a weird feeling.
Yeah, I've obviously stopped myself from releasing a few things recently, because that song, Self Doubt, that one with that line in, Keep It Simple, it's ready to go. It's been ready to go for a while, and I've got the recording. It sounds great, but I just haven't had one. I haven't had the time to put all the effort behind it, because you need a lot of effort, like, you know, all the admin side behind, you know, a release. I just didn't have that time, moving house, starting a new job, just got a dog and things like that, and life gets in the way. So I didn't have the time to put to it, but also because I haven't released many stuff for such a long time. I had one with Charlie J at the start of the year, but that was just like, he was on there with me, and he's got such a positive energy, releases stuff all the time. It pushed me past the line to release it. Whereas because this is not completely on my own, then I'm like, okay, I'm overthinking this. I'm like, should I redo the vocals, or should I add a synth, or, you know, so that's the point I am with that song at the moment. And because I'm writing new stuff, I'm like, oh, do I wait to release it before I've got other stuff, so it all sort of sounds similar, and it's got like a say, I can make like a big project out of it, rather than just sort of just throwing one out there and like throwing spaghetti at a wall, hoping it sticks. So that's where I am at the moment. So I sound like I'm a bit stuck, but in the sense of it, it's actually quite freeing as well.
Yeah, sure. No, absolutely.
Me and Jack spoke in lockdown when we were releasing, because the two of us released about like 4 or 5 songs each in like a year period or 2 years period. And we were just like in this creative like really, really good creative experience where we'd be like, I love this idea, let's release it. And we'd share it between all of each other. And lockdown gave you that sort of time to really think like of that one song, and then you've got all the time to do everything with it. And since then, because I haven't released much, it's been like quite a staggered process.
Yeah.
And we were talking about there was a lot of pressure to try and constantly release. But now I think that it's quite freeing to say, no, actually, it's better to work on the songs that I know would work rather than just chucking stuff out there just because they need content, you know?
Definitely. Yeah. No, I agree. It's like, no, that, the Beatles days of sort of single albums, you know, and like that thing, repetitive stuff. I think you're taking a sit back, you know, getting in the helicopter to look at like the bigger picture. And like you said, if you've got, you know, as well, don't you, deep down, that you've got maybe even just stems of songs in the background at the moment. Sometimes it can be a line or two, it can be a melody, whatever. And actually it's like, let's just sort of like cultivate this a little bit and see if that can have a band put around it and gone in one go. And that's the difficult part, isn't it, of creating momentum and energy. I was going to ask you, I did make a note about lockdown, actually. You just mentioned it there because Jack talked about it a lot on when he was on as well. That effect for you mentally, obviously you just talked about the creativity part, a lot of positivity in there for sure, being able to collaborate, maybe be able to focus a little bit more. But mentally, where did that put you? Because you started Mojo in lockdown. So, you know, how did you find recording, but also managing your own emotions as well through that time?
That was the release, was the music. It felt like I wasn't just sitting there, and I didn't feel like I was wasting time, you know, if I was breathing confident. It was one of those that I was putting something towards, you know, I was putting my effort towards something that had meaning a little bit. And that was my release in a way. If I didn't have that, I think it would have been a lot tougher lockdown. But most of the songs, like in Peach Out, when me and Jack wrote together, it's very much about the whole Joe Wicks and the yoga crazes and everything like that, right? And it was all people saying that they needed to go to somewhere to do like stuff. But I was like, no, we can actually just do it all for free. We don't need, you know, we don't need to pay these gurus to show us how to do tree pose. We can do it at home on our own if we needed to. And it was this big craze with like, yeah, there's loads of different like therapeutic approaches. So that was sort of, everyone sort of goes through different things with lockdown if you're stuck in the house for so long. We were quite lucky with the weather for most of the lockdown. We were able to go out quite a lot. And I think that reflected in the music quite a lot as well. Connecting to nature a little bit. But it is tough to be stuck around the same people in the house for so long. I found it very tough moving. We moved house twice in lockdown through student accommodation. And one of the places, it was just me and my partner, and we loved it, just the two of us. And we really, like, it was amazing. But my creativity went, and I moved from, like, one space to another. Trying to sort of bring that creativity back was really tough. And when that went, it was a lot tougher. So I just basically said, yeah, to myself, I was like, I'm not even going to try to write now for a couple of months. I'm just going to give it a little bit of a break and just sort of enjoy having nothing to do.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah. It's interesting how you said sort of the creativity went. And for me, the way sort of rooms can hold energy and hold atmosphere and that, and I sort of, in work, if I've had sort of a tough session with a client, you know, because you walk in the room after and you can just feel it. So I guess it's the same sort of when you're really productive in a space and then all of a sudden that space is taken away. It's like, how can I recreate this? How can I get, you know, putting that picture there doesn't make it feel the same. So it's really interesting. I guess that's then having also like a couple of people cheerleading and almost saying, no, this is good. You know, we're getting somewhere. Come on, let's keep this going. And you kind of, you know, I don't know, maybe if you listen back to the music, you can tell which house you were in. You know, just from sort of the style of the song as well.
Yeah, I love 100%. That.
Yeah.
I love like the as well, just talking about landscape, I'd made a note here to ask you about landscape. Because obviously that play you were saying about connecting with nature and stuff as well. Obviously for your music, for anyone who hasn't listened yet, obviously we're gonna encourage them to, but people, your fans, I would say it's definitely got that positive vibe, you know, it's in the sound of the music. It's very spring, summer, like uplifting. I know you obviously go in on the lyrics sometimes, but it's helpful, like, you know, to have sometimes maybe a that positive background to come from to G yourself up. But just talk to us about, like, because are you down in Swansea still,
yeah,
John?
I'm in Swansea still, yeah.
I got married in Swansea, so I'm from, like, obviously the Newport way, but Swansea holds a lot for me. Just tell me a little bit about where you live and in terms of how that affects the sound of the music that comes out as well.
So I'll start with lockdown and then work my way to now, because but in lockdown I was in my girlfriend's student house basically when lockdown was about to like affect. My parents were like, cool, you can either stay here and be locked in with us for a month or 2 months or however long it'll be, or you can go and live with Chloe. So I basically took one guitar, one bag, and then like a little bag full of clothes. But she had a tiny room. It was tiny. It was basically a big double bed against one wall, and then a small desk overlooking the whole of Swansea Bay, and then obviously like a wardrobe and whatever. And that was where I started Mojo, was on my MacBook on Logic Pro that I've never sort of used before. Just opened that up and looked out, and it was like to see the whole of Swansea Bay, because it was on the top of Mount Pleasant. Anyone doesn't know Swansea? Yeah, so it's top of Mount Pleasant. It's a nightmare if you go on a night out and you have to walk all the way up, but it's beautiful if you have a car. So we had a car, so we were really lucky. But it's like the top floor of this really tall house, and it looked out over the whole of Swansea Bay. And in the morning, we just both sit there with like our coffee, just open the blinds, and we could see. It was like really, really nice. So that was where like Miles Away sort of came from, and all of that idea, and being stuck in the house, but, you know, trying to get away. I read a book called, what was it called? Pan, yeah. And it was by Knut Hansen, and it was, it was all about like isolation in a forest cabin. And I quite like the idea of like transporting myself somewhere else for a bit. And so when I was writing that song, it was there. Then going through, obviously, when we were allowed to go for walks and stuff, we had the beach and the Gower. So I love going down the Gower all the time. Yeah. The Three Cliffs and Rosilly and Caswell. I do sea dipping as well, so that's a big thing, just going into the sea. And just being around that calming environment, because I find cities and city centres really stressful. I had quite a lot of social anxiety growing up, and I sort of used music and getting on stage to try and combat that, get a sort of false sense of, you know, not bravado, but a little bit of false ego to try and get myself through the day. But I'm always sort of on edge most of the time. Even now, I've come such a far way. But yeah, going through all of that time, and then lockdown gave me that space to sort of really ground myself by going out on walks, and that was expressed then through the music that I wrote. And all of it was released. I wrote loads and loads of stuff that was just in my laptop that's never seen the light of day as well. Sort of in the same vein as certain songs. And if it sounded too similar, then I'd just put all that effort into the one song then.
Right.
And then I'd take little bits of these little noodles that I had and add little noodles on top. You know, if it was in a different key, just change the key. And, that's a cool little guitar line, or that's a cool melody, or whatever. And I try to put it all into one song then, sort of. And that all comes from different. So I'd go for a walk with the missus, and then we'd come back, and then I'd go, cool, I'm gonna express what I've just felt into that music, and to do like half an hour a day or whatever. I think it was great, and having routine. That was that routine was essential. You know, we'd wake up, we'd have breakfast at the same time. I pretty much had breakfast the same breakfast every single day. And then we go for a walk somewhere, and I come in and I do like half an hour of this like music thing to sort of try and splurge out all my energy into one thing. And then we'd all have beers and watch TV, because it was not just me and my partner, it was a couple of other people in the house as well.
I love that. And I think what you say about cities scaring you, it's funny, our second episode was about Ghost Town, wasn't it, Bryn? We went back because it was lockdown, we went back to the specials, because cities can be overwhelming when they're busy, but they're also quite eerie when they're quiet as well, aren't they? You've got all these like concrete blocks filled with glass, like, you know. And I remember people sharing, like, I Loves the Diff, I don't know if anyone follows that, but page on Instagram, which he just posts some brilliant stuff about Cardiff, and he was wandering through the city centres, there's no one there, and it's quite like spooky and eerie, and you'd almost like set a film there, do you know what I mean? Like, because it was just like almost like sci-fi, you know. But you're definitely in the right part of the world, A, for sea dipping, but B as well, just incredible ways to escape from a city quite easily. You know, so I love that. And we always talk as well about like influences. And I don't know about, like, I'll get Bryn Sorts in a second, but I was listening to your music again recently just to get ready for the pod and stuff. Have you heard of an artist called J.W. Francis from America?
I've got one song of his keeps on coming up called Casino, which I quite like. Yeah, it keep always pops up on my Discover Weekly or my Daily Drive, and it'll just, yeah.
I went straight to that after listening to you first. That was just my little chip in to see if you knew him. If you didn't, I was going to recommend, but you have, and I'm not surprised at that because of the sound that they make. But just talk through some of your influences as well. So who are your people you pin on a board to go, I like what they do, I like how they write, I like how they make their sound?
Yeah, so I'm a massive Beatles fan. I grew up with the Beatles in school, and although it doesn't like transfer straight into Mojo, you can sort of musical sort of like they were sort of they taught me little bits about how to write music and melody and stuff like that. I'm a massive fan of like Mac DeMarco. He's a really cool artist from America. If anyone doesn't know him, and sort of connected with a lot of friends because they liked them too, and that was sort of through our master's year and stuff that really connected a lot of people. And so I really like the idea of playing with sort of jazz chords and weird sounding guitars. Like, I've got a vibrato pedal. The Mojo sound, everyone like in the band sort of says, is it has to be like a -7 or a -7 chord.
Okay.
Or augmented chord with a vibrato pedal on. And that's basically a Mojo chord. But even like loads of other artists do it. Yeah, that's the secret. But that's basically where it sort of started, was I sort of learning these jazz chords. And it's funny because Miles Away doesn't have any jazz chords in it. It's all standard. But
because
I didn't have to play anything else with the chords. But like Pete's Out is got like loads of jazzy chords and stuff in. But yeah, that's what sort of bases my influence. And then I started listening to other artists like Mac DeMarco, Courtney Barnett, because it's very like relaxing, slackery sort of stuff. Her new stuff is killer as well with the drum machine. And there's loads of new artists that have just come through on Spotify as well. I'll have a little look on my Spotify actually for some, because there's so many at the moment. I've got like a Mojo playlist that's just full.
And send different us a little songs. Picture or a screenshot of it, and we'll put it up. We'll put it up on Instagram in the Week Britain, won't we?
Yeah.
I can send you the playlist for sure. Like, there's an artist called Jordan Rakai. I absolutely love Jordan Rakai, and he did a session at the start, like a YouTube thing at the start of lockdown called Song from Nothing. So every day he would do this is like basically before Mojo even begun. So he sort of taught me how to write music again on Logic. And he would just do a live stream every single day, and it will start literally with nothing, and you'll end up with a really cool song at the end. But he's an amazing artist. And there's some others that I've been listening to as well. But I can't really but there's just so many influences that I sort of jump into a playlist. And it's the music I listen to on these walks outside, or when I'm walking through a city centre and I'm anxious, I'll put like music in, it'll make me feel better. So they'll prop up. And then if it makes me feel better, if it get a cool vibe from it, then I stick it in a playlist and then I listen to it through, and my music sort of comes from that, really.
And it's the safety music can bring with that as well. You know, it's like so many people have playlists for certain feelings of this is how I feel, this is how I feel. You know, and it does. You put headphones in and it closes off external stuff. You can go into yourself. You know, you can just have that time to process and just to be. And I'm also aware, obviously, I've got to make sure I get this date right, because there's something coming up on, is it the 24th of Feb?
24th or
24th of Feb, is that right?
I think it's 20. I've been getting it wrong, so I've been telling people the wrong date.
I did look this morning, I think it's the 24th, but unless they've posted it wrong, but on... It's the house party, isn't it? On February 24th. I saw it on Sudo's the 24th, I'm sure I did.
It is
anyway,
the 24th. Yes,
it
it's
is the
24th.
Tell yes. people about my preparation work.
Yeah.
It's the biggest show.
It looks amazing, firstly. Yeah. And also, for us, me and Bryn, I know Bryn will absolutely support this. Seeing artists that we love locally as part of it is amazing, right? But we'll pass it to you because it's a pretty big deal for you guys, isn't it?
Yeah, so it's Swansea has recently had an arena built. It's 2,000 or 3,000 capacity or something like that. And they opened up with this thing called the Housewarming like 2 years ago when they opened. It was local bands and they had to sort of test the arena for the fire regs. So they had to basically have a full venue to then test the fire regs. And they loved the idea so much they were trying to bring it back year on year. And this year it was brought back and it's called the House Party. So it's in collaboration with Music Venue Trust. So the Swansea Arena are putting on local artists. So it's myself, Soda Cool, Kicker, Grey FLX, The Fiends, Only Rainy Day Rainbow, Monet, and Buzzard headlining. And then a couple of other artists playing in the day. So it's like a full day event, loads of stalls, loads of organizations, loads of musicians. And then in the night, then in the main arena, then myself, Mojo, and all the other bands I just mentioned are lucky enough to play on the arena stage. And all the monies go into Music Venue Trust, to not just to the charity, but to all the venues in Swansea that we all cut our teeth with and worked really well for so many years as well. So yeah, Swansea's filled with such amazing venues. I'm lucky enough to work closely with the venue owners quite often because I put on gigs in Swansea and put on something called the Swansea Fringe Festival. So that's what I organise that with the team around. It's not just me, it's a team of organisers. We organise the Fringe, and luckily I'm able to work closely with all these amazing venues, like Bunkhouse and Elysium, Sin City and Hangar 18. I never get the opportunity to play Hangar 18 because it's more rock and metal. Mojo doesn't really fit that vibe, but I played on that stage when it was a different venue. It's a very, very cool venue. But yeah, it's filled with such amazing venues and it's great that Music Venue Trust and the arena, it's the only arena working for local grassroots venues in the UK, which is pretty ace actually. And it's great to be involved with it. It was amazing to be asked to do it in the first place. And I can't wait because it's the biggest stage I've ever played, you know. So I've had to buy new guitar leads and they turned up because they weren't long enough because I knew that I'd have to get one from my pedal board all the way to the amp, like way back. I'm really excited to play. I was really nervous. And then we did a gig in Kuru in Carmarthen as a warm-up. And I hadn't played for like 3 months. The whole band hadn't played for like a couple of months. And after that, we all came off and we were like, yeah, we're ready. Like, we cannot wait. It's going to be really good.
Yeah, and I've put the links in, obviously, if anyone listens, they go in the bio, the link for all the tickets, and obviously to your Spotify and all your bits are all in there anyway. So if people, I encourage people, check it out, have a listen, but also something I say is, if you have to, you know, listen to Mojo Jr., let the radio carry on, because that's when you can find very similar artists, you know, and you can find a lot more that way. But then, the Swansea Arena, so 24th of Feb, and it's only a tenner, guys. So if you're in the area, it's £10 for all of that to experience the arena, to see everything, and you know it's going to a good cause. So I guess the last thing, is there anything else sort of you wanted to promote, wanted to share, or
Your stage is yours,
Yeah.
Ooh, I'm not sure. Other than you've already just said about everything. I've got merch as well. I've just had t-shirts made. In collaboration with an artist in Cardiff. I commissioned her to do artwork for Mojo, and it's like little boxes of hand-drawn piece, like 9 little drawings that all relate to a Mojo song or a moment in Mojo
that's cool.
A feeling she had when she was listening to the music. And it's called the Keep It Easy Tea, and it's on my bio as well. And we did it with a local environmentally friendly sort of screen printer and t-shirts and all of that. So I'll plug that as well, obviously, with the merch. Because we're all wearing band t-shirt. I'm wearing a band t-shirt underneath here as well.
Yeah, yeah. It stokes conversation, doesn't it? It does, like, you know, people ask about it. So that's and also kind of for you to keep operating. You need to make money, don't you? Do you know what I mean? And to do what you love. And actually, we always say, we try and buy merch when we go to gigs, don't we, Bryn? You know, whether it's a CD, a vinyl, a T-shirt, whatever it is. So I was going to, you know, we know the challenges. We've spoken to enough bands and people who have listened to us for a long time will know that many that we spoke to, like Schlug, Jack, Pseudo Cool and Blue Amber and the rest of them, will always say how difficult it is, you know, to operate as a musician, you know, first.
Yeah, so
those little things do help. And I know as well, just going back to the house party, that Bryn was saying it was £10 a ticket. The aim is to raise 20K, isn't it, I think, for local grassroots venues. And
yeah,
I'll actually find it, Bryn, for you, and I'll share it for people to look at in the bio. But there was recently, I think, a commission and a report fed back about the plight of live music venues and things like that as well. So honestly, like when we're asking people to buy stuff or if they like it, you know, Josh, it makes a huge, huge difference, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does. And like, that's why I've had to sort of slow stuff down, because in lockdown we had furlough, we had money through, we could do it all ourselves and go through it. But I'm, because obviously there's traction being raised and I've got more expectations. Things like PR is expensive. Things like artwork, touring, you know, petrol's more expensive than ever. That's why I've had to slow everything down, really, because I'm working full time. Like all the artists that you spoke to all work full time on the side, and we do it as slash a hobby but also something to work towards as well. And it's great. I'm not in music to make money, but I want the project to make money for itself, so I'm not paying out of it, because it's not much money to spare in that sense, you know. And at the moment I've been quite lucky to do that, and keep working towards that aim, that it sort of is self-sufficient. It's like a self-sufficient business in a sense. That's my aim with the project, because it's something I really, really enjoy, and I enjoy connecting with people through music. And that's my sort of main aim. Like all the people I've met, all the people that you've spoken about, I've met, you know, either putting on shows or turning up at shows. And it's like last night I went to two venues on my own. Like none of my mates were free, and I wanted to go and see two gigs. So I was like, I'm just gonna go on my own, because I know there'll be musicians there that I know, and they'll talk to me, and you know, there's that big community there that you can just walk into any music venue and there'll be someone there to talk to. So that's my big message, is go and support grassroots venues, you know, not just my gigs but every gig, you know, just have a look. And they're cheaper than going to see like Justin Bieber for like £400 or Taylor Swift for £1 million. You know, it's like £5 for a ticket or £7 for a ticket. Really good, cheap beer in music venues as well. Like in Swansea, the Elysium and Bunk, they only charge £4.90 for a pint. That's like unreal. That's like Wetherspoon's prices, you know what I mean? Yeah. You could definitely go there, and it's a nicer environment than going to like a Wetherspoons or something.
You might find your next band. We found loads of bands like through this. You'll go to gigs on your own. I go to gigs on my own. I'm actually, in fact, I don't want to talk to people at a gig until after. You know, like doing the music, I want to watch. You know, but there is definitely that sense of community that grows around it. And we feel grateful to be part of it, Bryn, don't we?
Yeah, I must be grateful, like, you know, for to say thank you for coming on as well.
Yeah, Sunday morning.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, honestly, this has been a pleasure. Yeah, normally my Sunday morning is get up, make a cup of tea, make sure the dog goes out, and put Match of the Day on. So it's been really nice to talk to you guys this morning. Yeah. And it's made my Sunday already, so I know it's going to be a good day. Even though it's raining here in Swansea, it's it's already a nice day talking to you both.
As you said that, the sun's literally just poked out.
Just popping out,
Is it? Oh, okay.
Come to Mayfort, everyone. It's fine.
On its way to you,
Yeah. All right. Thanks, nice one. Thank you very much for that as well.
Thank you.
Yeah, all the best for everything. And people, dive in the links. All the links will be in there. And go from there.
Amazing. Okay. Support local music, everyone. And go to gigs. It's amazing. Way to spend your life.
Okay, so we've read out the original podcast, we used to do, I used to do something every week, or you then yeah. come in and do yeah. stories, poetry, mm-hmm. And we kind of want to bring some of that back. That's yep. a good thing about evolving, isn't it? We'll bring some new stuff, we'll bring some old stuff back. Mm-hmm. But I understand you've written a little yeah. something, so I'm handing over.
Where are we? We're in Seagull
Corner.
Okay, so Tales from the Gym.
Ooh,
I know. As I walk in, I hear the familiar sounds echoing round. 30 seconds left. Keep going, guys. Boot camp's in full swing. A mixture of ages, shapes and sizes all working alongside each other. I make eye contact with one. A smile is shared, but behind the smile, I can see their pain as they push to finish the session. Off to the bike to start my warm-up. Notice the tempo of the music's changed. Boot camp is getting to a climactic end. The dull thud of a medicine ball hitting the ground full force gets my attention. I look at the person doing this, headphones in, a grunt emitting as they do it, and wonder what music they're listening to. Wouldn't it be comical if it were Disney or classical music? The juxtaposition makes me crack a smile as boot camp finishes. Moving around the gym for my session, I pick up snippets of conversations. Personal trainer checking in with their client. That's great, this is the fourth time you've come this week. Friends talking about the weekend. Not a lot. Took the kids to the lake, went out for food. Yes, it was a good recommendation. Exams seem to be starting so much earlier now. The thug continues as Mr. Mysterious Music Taste seems to be taking a lot of frustration out on the medicine ball. I wonder what's behind the force. Is it focus or is there something underlying? Anger? Frustration? The intent almost appears trance-like. Push it. You've got this. Come on, mate. A PT starts up, encouraging their client, who looks like a beetroot would look pale against them. A wry smile is shared between the two, the PT knowing they're putting in maximum effort and the client knowing the reward of a rest is coming. They finish and lie down to the encouraging chat of the PT. The music seems to drift into the background as I continue with my own session, again catching clips of conversations. Are you using this? How many sets do we have left? It's interesting some of the language and conversations had in the gym. A different community, the early morning starters all sharing smiles and generic hellos. I wonder if it's the same throughout the day. Communities within communities, all in it together. I end up alongside Mr. Mysterious as he finishes his session. I needed that, he said to me as we passed by each other. The temptation to start further conversations there, but I need to remember not to cross the line. Looks like it was tough, but a good session, comes my response as he heads to the changing rooms. My session comes to an end, and it's time to head home to start work. See you later, the gym owner shouts and gives a smile as I leave. Getting into my car, I can hear the music thudding from the gym, noticing cars arriving as the next batch of brave souls head in. I wonder what music they'll be listening to.
Love the story, mate, and thanks, child. Again,
yes, always good to have some children talking.
Yeah, well, they make more sense.
We should get more people recording again. I know we say it, but
well, I think we've got, because you're all lazy listeners. Obviously, we keep asking, and we know you listen because we see it. Yeah. You don't send it in, so you're going to get a WhatsApp from us saying, "Do this now."
Well, you know what? Or I'm just going to start doing it again.
Yeah.
And I'm going to do my different thing. So let's see. Let's see if that threat.
Probably not. Got a lazy lot of them, we like, basically. Yeah, they just want us to do all the work.
Yeah, so, you know, we are changing challenges a little bit now and again, so it's more, I don't know, just maybe on a theme or maybe like running with how our week's been and stuff. So, yeah, what have we got?
I'm going to bring something that I've taken on board this year and it's made a difference. Mm. So it's called Following the 1 Minute Rule. Okay. I read this on a Guardian article. So basically, if there's a task that can be done in less than 1 minute, so that's hanging up a coat, answering an email, do it immediately. Okay. And it's astonishing what you accomplish. So I've noticed that I'll see a jacket on the back of a chair.
Yeah.
Some plates need to go in the dishwasher and stuff like that, right? Whereas the dishes probably were there after the jacket.
Yeah.
And then the shoes are on the side. Whereas if I come in, put my shoes straight under the stairs, mm-hmm. my jacket straight under the stairs, and the dishes straight in the dishwasher, that would have an individual... That would have taken seconds. Yeah. Then they accumulate and I've got to tidy up.
Yep.
And tidying up takes longer. But then you put tidying up off.
Okay.
So if you see something, think, right, there's like, that needs to go upstairs.
Yeah.
I'm going to run upstairs now.
Do it. Yeah. And that's good for me because I'm not good when there's mess.
There you go.
Things are clogged up. So thank you very much. Yeah. So I'll do it mindfully as I do it. And just think about it.
Yeah. Think about if it makes a difference. Yeah.
And for you, it's carrying on the non-alc theme.
Yes.
And bringing stuff for me.
Yeah, yeah.
I want you to find a non-alc.
Yeah.
And bring it to our next recording and we'll taste it.
Sweet.
Maybe one that you haven't tried.
Yeah, it's a good show.
And we'll both, or, you know, or a couple.
We'll do a live taste. We haven't done that for a while.
We haven't done that, so we'll do a live taste of non-alc beer. If anybody would like to gift us
non-alc
beer, that would be great. Thank you very much.
Thanks very much, everyone, in advance.
In advance. Okay, well, another one in the bag. Another one done virtually. It's almost like going back to our first experience as well, which is interesting. We were reflecting on colours of our rooms.
Yeah, we were.
Yeah.
Yeah, it feels like lockdown, doesn't it?
It does.
When we start.
I know, I can't even touch it. Touch a screen.
Yeah, it's just, it was good. We were saying about, though, in terms of guests, getting guests on, it's a good way of doing things.
Yeah.
In terms of scheduling. And actually, we've recorded part of this together.
Yeah,
we're on Zoom on a Sunday morning, and now we're part in an evening. So you know, we can like time shift as well.
We've spread it out. So basically, this podcast for you guys, we've basically taken 4 days to do to make sure it's right for you. So don't complain.
Man hours. But yeah, you wanted to add, just clarify just some of the stuff around.
Yeah, I think it's just touch obviously. You know, Mojo Dream's talking about their appearing Swansea Arena House Party. It's definitely on the 24th of Feb. It's a Saturday.
Yeah.
For a tenner, you can't go wrong. You know, sort of with them, I know Sudocore there, Buzzard, Buzzard, Buzzard. It's all going for a good cause. Like, if you're in that area, just have a look. And if you're not, get on their socials, get on their Instagram, and just have a look, share, you know, because that. Sharing is caring. I don't know what I'm talking about there, but essentially, you know, it is. You know, if you see something from the house party and you share it on your social media, it reaches all your followers, you know, and it's just an extra bit for them. And the same for us, you know, just
sure.
Keep sharing our awesome podcast. I think we should go for an award at some point this year. I reckon we should do that. Let's get
the
podcast.
Grammys just the Grammys are just gone, so we got about a year.
Well, we got next year, we'll get it next year, or I'm sure somebody will buy us an award.
Buy us?
Yeah.
Just have a poster on the wall, like, best podcast ever from QE.
If you're going to buy us one, we like big trophies. No, I don't want it to be an easy one to put up on, like, a shelf. I want it to be really ridiculous and really difficult. So,
if anyone knows the Stanley Cup, like the Stanley Cup for ice hockey, that ridiculous trophy is just like enormous. Yeah, we'll take that.
But the handles are our faces or something. Yeah,
I'll do nicely. And also, like, thanks to Mojo Josh, he was fantastic. We could have spoke for ages. Hope everyone enjoyed it. Shout out to Tom, previous guest, our first guest actually. Yeah. Just sending strength to him. Hope he's doing all right. And I suppose that's enough for everyone. That's 4 days worth of work, mate. So I think that's.
I know we've
enough.
Worked hard. We should probably do some other work, like our normal jobs, shouldn't we? I haven't seen our wives in 4 days.
Just been locked away editing, like recording. No, but then until next time, so ta-ra from me.
And ta-ra from him.